Right now, Rattle Talk. About a week ago, I told you the story of a maddening rattle in my car. I had this car for about 3 months. Loved this car. Got this car at D&M Leasing, where they make leasing easy.
They do make leasing easy at D&M.
But a rattle developed right over my head, right in the ceiling. And I don't think it was the sunroof. I got a lot of people emailing saying you have a loose something in the sunroof. I don't believe it was that, because whenever I would press on the ceiling, the little padding up there, the rattle would stop. When I would take my hand off of it, the rattle comes back. The rattle never stopped. I'd be idling at a red light and the rattle was going.
Did you take my advice to duct tape it?
No, I couldn't do that. You had your idea to duct tape through the sunroof and the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just circle it a
pull
few
it
times.
Tight.
Right.
Yeah, pull it taut. You know, you're lucky you found where the rattle is. I've had many rattles in cars that are, like I've said before, it's like locating a cricket in your house at night. You just can't find, you can't triangulate where the sound's coming from.
Well, at first I thought that it was on the visor. And I messed around with that, and I had my garage door opener up there, and it wasn't that. Then I thought it was in the window. Sometimes in cars, I'll get a rattle, and you roll down the window and roll it back up, and it's gone, or you close the door tighter, and it's gone. But I located it right above my head. So after a couple of days, I'm driving along, and I'd be going down the highway and just get so frustrated with this, and I'm punching the ceiling as hard as I can. I'm pressing up on it as hard as I can with all my strength. And it would stop it for maybe 10 seconds, and then the rattle would come back. Drove me insane.
Did you tape it?
No, I was going to take it into the dealer this week. It was driving me that crazy.
I wanted you to get some audio of it so we could hear the annoying chirping sound above you.
Well, I was going to take it into the dealer this week, and I don't know if they would address that. I don't know how many times a dealer service department has some idiot like me go in there and say, I've got a rattle, can you fix it? And they must hate that.
I think they have it all the time, and you know what? I don't think they ever really fix it. I think they just kind of
drive it around the block.
Drive around the block. Yeah, we tighten some things. It should be fine for you, because they think you're crazy.
And they know it's going to be a big waste of their time. They're going to have to take all afternoon to find the rattle.
Yeah.
Well, miraculously, in the last day, the rattle has disappeared.
Without any interference from...
No interference. Mm. The only thing that I've done is continually press up on the ceiling, trying to compress whatever is in there rattling. And I've done that so much, and I've beaten the hell out of that ceiling, that either what was rattling is now compressed to where it can't rattle anymore, or whatever was rattling has fallen out or moved around or shifted or I don't know what.
I've had rattles before. I have never taken a car in for a rattle. I just ride them out and just make it part of the... They just become background noise for me after a while.
I can't do it. I can't ride out a
just
rattle.
Turn up the radio a little louder.
I'm a junior. I've ridden them out before, but I hate it. It drives me absolutely insane. Because that's all I can focus on. Once I notice it, it's all I can focus on.
I can't focus on what's on the radio or anybody in the car talking to me. It's just thinking about that rattle. Didn't you say you had a rattle once in your like glove box area?
Oh, yeah.
And you were just beating the dash?
Yeah, just beating the hell out of the dash until it stopped. I've had so many wheels off cars. I've had so many bad stories about cars that I've just had to ride out things that no human should have to ride out in a car. I've had the interior handle broken in my door, so I always had to roll down the window and open it from the outside. And then the electric window got stuck about halfway down. So then, all of a sudden, me reaching around the handle, I had to really fish my arm through the crack that the window afforded me and really reach down and just chafe your armpit on the top of the window as you're trying to let yourself out of the vehicle. I've had that. I've had a back in a sedan, I had one of the windows busted out, back windows, and put plywood in it and just spray painted
plywood.
It black.
Plywood?
Yeah.
Wow.
Quarter-inch plywood, spray painted it black.
How long do you ride out the cracked windshield? I've ridden out one of those for a couple of years.
Time. Oh, yeah. Several years.
And that drove me crazy.
Yes. I have a thing. This is weird. I have a thing that... Like where your toll tag is, or even sometimes the inspection stickers. If I get to noticing it being on my windshield, it starts tickling in between my eyes.
Uh-huh.
Is that weird? Where some visual just kind of... Yeah, well, I can look away, but just it. I'm looking straight ahead, but for some reason it's so distracting in my field of vision that it tickles between my eyes.
You get an actual tickle?
Yeah.
Not a psychological tickle.
Well, it's probably psychosomatic, but it seems somatic.
No, I don't get that. I will get distracted by things, especially if something's on my dash and it's creating a reflection.
Yes.
I can't stand that.
Yeah, the cracked windshield. And I think those are pretty easy to replace, right?
Very
don't you
easy.
Call somebody?
You call
and they...
someone, they come out and do it in just a matter of minutes.
But are they putting in the same quality glass?
I don't know. And I saw that being done in our parking lot the other day. I don't get that.
That's supposed to be very dangerous to ride out, too, the cracked windshield,
really?
Especially in cold weather like this.
Tobin says that his car stereo makes a strange noise, that it has like a rattle and then it hums also, but it only happens when he's listening to U2.
That's stupid.
That's terrible.
Stupid.
Do you know in my old Ford Fairmont that I wrote out engine noise in my stereo until the car didn't run anymore, until I didn't drive it anymore?
Engine noise in your stereo?
Yeah.
That's like where you hear, when you like, accelerate it.
Yeah, you hear.
Yeah, it comes through your car stereo.
I wrote that out for years.
I don't think modern stereos do that anymore.
No, I don't think they do either. I wired the stereo in there myself, and I think that's why you had that problem.
My favorite ride-out story is Gordo's from 20 years ago when you had an old girlfriend's car in the heat of the Dallas-Fort Worth summer, and the windows didn't roll down, and you had to run the heater to cool the engine.
So the car had a bad radiator, radiator clogged. And so, you would have to run to draw heat off the engine. You have to pull it off that heater core in the middle of summer, and the windows didn't go down. And also, it was not a fuel-injected car. It had a carburetor that ran rich. So you would smell so much like gasoline and sweat by the time you got out of that thing.
I would never
drive it.
No, I'm out on that.
What else are you going to do? That's all we
have. Take the bus.
Yes.
No, I would never ride in that car.
Put a large rock on the accelerator and watch it go off the cliff. That's what you'd do to that car.
No, I give up that car right there.
That car also had a bad clutch, so I mean, it was a while before you were able to get into the next gear.
I rode out just like you did when I had my old stick shift, the dead battery for a while, and I needed at least one other friend to help me push it to get it up to about 10 miles an hour, and then jump in it and start.
So
like
bad
that.
For your transmission. Horrible. But we used to do that all the time. To save money on a battery, we'd destroy the transmission.
Mm-hmm. You had to always try to park downhill if possible.
I think the worst ride out isn't even... I think it's the Fiat that I used to have that had a bad alternator. I've told you this before. I used to have to travel in this Fiat, and I only had about a... It was like an electric car because I only had like a 3-mile range I could go on a charge of a battery before my car would die. And I had a battery charger in the trunk with about a 200-foot extension cord.
No way.
And everywhere I went, I would have to plug it up. And, you know, I'd be at my destination. I'd have to wait an hour. Everywhere I went, I had to at least be there an hour where my car could recharge, where I could then make it back
home.
I basically had an electric car because the alternator was bad, and I had to run straight off a battery. And it was such a beating because I'd go over to a friend's house, a friend's apartment and everything.
Let's go eat. Not yet.
And, they'd live on the third floor, and there you'd see that orange extension cord extending from my car up into their sliding glass door to be plugged in while we watched a game.
I'm with Rich. Take the bus.
Out on that, too.
Take the bus.
Yeah. You rode out way too much.
That was also the same Fiat. It was a ragtop. It was a convertible, and it wouldn't go up, you know. So, rain, sleet, or snow,
What were you doing?
Convertible top down.
Go into debt and get a car at that point. That's ridiculous.
No.
Or ride a bike.
You have no comprehension of my white trash leanings. I've had all manner of bad cars.
My old Monte Carlo in college, I rode out a slow leak for about a year, and every 2 weeks I would go to the store and get Fix-A-Flat and pour that into
That's
the tire.
Horrible for your tires.
And I just, instead of getting one new tire, I got 100 cans of Fix-A-Flat.
Sure, we did that. For some reason, we never would get like a transmission job. You know, you needed a new seal on the transmission pan. But we had one that leaked. And so you had to carry around bottles of transmission fluid because eventually it would never get in gear. And so you'd have to fill it with transmission fluid. Well, finally it got so bad and we had to trade in this car. My dad and I took this car in to trade it in, and we didn't know that we were going to trade it in. We thought we were going to have it fixed for some other problems that it had. Well, they gave us the bill, and it totaled the car, all the things that we had to get fixed on it. So we just traded it in the lot. Well, we didn't have a chance to clean it up. My dad was big into you clean up a car before you turn it in because
sure.
you get more money. They opened the trunk of the car, and it was absolutely level with empty transmission fluid bottles. Clearly indicating that there were more problems than we were fully disclosing here. I mean level, the trunk level with them.
We collect them.
My first car I had in high school was Plymouth Sapporo, it was called.
Whoa.
It was made by Mitsubishi. It was from Japan, and I'd wrecked it. Got it fixed, and they didn't fix right the drain for the condensation off of the air conditioner,
leak,
you know?
Inside the passenger compartment?
Passenger floorboard. But you know what? I didn't sit on that side. I sat in the driver's seat.
You didn't
so.
Care. You just let it
No, I just always warn people, hey, the floor might get a little wet over there.
Did you ever put a bucket over
what
there?
What she said.
Put what?
Did you ever put a bucket over there?
No, because it didn't, like, you couldn't see it. It just dripped right onto the carpet and just would, you know, mm-hmm. come down the hump, you know, from the transmission hump onto the floor. And one time when we drove about 5 or 6 hours, one time to San Antonio or something, I mean, there was a puddle in the back seat in the floor.
God. How long did you ride that out?
About a year until I got rid of the car. Yeah.
God. Hey, I've had cars that didn't have reverse. I mean, you really had to plan out your route, man, because your parking situation, you
That's
had to make
ridiculous.
Sure. Yeah.
What would you do? Put it in neutral and push it?
Yeah, if you got into a spot where you had to go backwards, sure. But you always tried to find parking spaces that you could, you'd have to double park and all kinds of stuff to where you would have to avoid a reverse because that wasn't an option in that car anymore.
Let's take a couple of calls on Wheels Off Cars to Davina and Keller. You're on the ticket.
Hey, yeah, it's a mirror of Gordon's story that he just told. My husband's first car was a VW Bug. He was 15. No reverse. You had to make accommodations. And if you didn't or if somebody did you wrong, you know, you had to pop it in neutral and push it or whatever. Oh. But he kept it for, you know, 2 or 3 years because he was 15 and he bought it with his own money. He was broke and that was the car he had. Now, I don't think he had a girlfriend at that point because, you know, nobody's going to go out with somebody like that. But he, you know, you have to make the accommodations. So he wrote it out.
When you're poor, you're poor.
That's right.
I know that.
You got to do.
I know what it's like. Yeah, and hey, I've ridden on a donut tire for about a year at a time.
That is ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous.
I thought the range was like 50 miles.
Yes.
But somehow you got 10,000 out of it?
Yes. It was great, man. 12,000 miles on that tire.
Did you go into the dealership and see if you could get three more just to make sure?
Yeah, these are great tires.
Sam and Alan, you're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Yeah, when I was in college, I had a roommate who had a car that had some sort of electrical issue, so he had to carry a ratchet or a wrench with him everywhere he went, and when he stopped, he had to pop the hood open and disconnect the negative battery cable and go do his business or whatever he has to do, and then get back and reconnect it every single time he did anything. He kept that thing for about a year and a half.
Year and a half?
Yeah.
Why do we ride things out?
That wouldn't be that bad.
It's when you're poor, Giorgio. When you're poor and you haven't gotten into the habit of fixing things when things occur, or you don't have the money to do it, so you just ride it out.
And some of it, at least with me, it was laziness.
Yeah, a lot of it is laziness. A lot of it is, you know, hey, I can go drink with my friends all night or get my car fixed. Well, I'll drink with my friends tonight and ride this out for the next year.
Tomorrow,
Bob and Coppell, you're on the ticket.
Yeah, real quick, this is kind of a long story, but I'll make it fast. In college, four of us owned a car, and it was a 49 Ford.
Four of you?
Yeah, but this was in 1960. And anyway, it had a hole in the floorboard, and we had to carry a Coke bottle full of brake fluid with us with a cork in it. And stop every now and then and put some more brake fluid in the thing. When we finally got ready to get rid of it, all four of us got behind the car. One of us jumped in the driver's seat, and we pushed it probably a half a mile to a used car lot, and we actually passed a little old man and little old lady that were driving along.
You guys were faster.
Yeah.
Hey, Speaking of brake problems, I told you the car that I had to roll down the window and reach outside to open it, and also had the plywood back window, and also had the transmission problem where you had to fill it with transmission fluid every few hours. The brakes were so bad on it, and we never would get a brake job. You know, the rotors were warped, you know, to where the whole car would shimmy so bad when you applied the brakes. And then finally it got to where it was metal on metal, and the sound was like the
train,
the screaming out of 1,000 souls. Yeah, like a train stopping. So you had to use the emergency brake. That was the brake that you used. So you could slow it down with the metal on metal, and then you would try to switch to emergency brake technology as soon as you could. But you know how the emergency brakes have those notches in it?
It grabs, yeah.
Yeah, you had to learn the exact point of the notch where if you went one notch too far, you locked them up. And it was like, there were many times at an intersection where it was like pulling the handle on a big wheel spinning around.
So ridiculous. It's a miracle that you're with us today after those cars.
Yes.
That is not road safe.
No, my parents let me drive that thing everywhere. That's what they put me in. My non-caring parents put their son in that car, and that's what I drove for years. Years I drove, and we finally traded it in, and guess how much we got for that car?
$500.
$200.
$200.
Jeez. $200. And I'd spent all day washing it and getting it all clean to make it look as good as possible. They unfortunately wanted to test drive
it. Them up, drive it into the lot.
Guy came back in our test driving and goes, "Man, that thing's hard to stop it."
I used a brick wall to do it.
He freaking plowed into a new car on the front of the lot trying to stop the thing.